And we do it from Oxnard, California, show number one of Cowboys Camp with Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our insider Bobby Bell, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. They've got you covered when the hits keep coming, and the on-time experts, the official AC heating and plumbing partner of the Dallas Cowboys. We've taken you through some of the Micah contract drama. By the way, Stephen Jones yesterday saying Micah has to want to get paid. What does that mean?
I think that means, like, if you're going to set a request or a standard that is so high above anything that they will actually agree to, then you don't really want to get a deal done, and you don't really want to get paid. So if you want to get paid, you better start tracking that back a little bit or meeting us in the middle.
Should we start thinking that they're asking for way more than 41 per?
I mean,
it's so nuanced because, like, you try to basically meet.
Because if they're asking for way more than 41 per, I understand the Cowboys delaying.
Which I don't think the Cowboys would be saying, here's 41 per either, though. I think, like, if they're asking for 46, the Cowboys are probably saying 35. Like it's one of those things where you just kind of, you're struggling to push for that. That's why I think the first numbers you throw out can always be, or some of the numbers that get discussed along the way can be a little deceptive.
Because that's why, like, when Schefter says no offer's been made, right? When he says no offer's been made. If the Cowboys are offering 35, that's not an offer. Like, that's not a legitimate, good faith offer.
Right.
And from Micah's standpoint, if they're asking for 46, that's not a legitimate offer either.
Right.
You know, like, so yes, technically no offers been made.
But if you end up at 41, you've cost yourself a week plus of practice.
Yeah.
For what? Having a peeing contest?
Like
if
that's
it
what they're doing,
if it ends up, you know, but like they're actually practicing out here, which they will do again today, and we'll be out here covering it here on 105.3 The Fan. What else happened on the practice fields? I'm just going to go up and down the notes. Brevin Spanford went to the locker room with an apparent leg injury. Broda said looked like he got rolled up on a run play. Terrence Steele back on the field after missing two practices with the ankle injury, but no team drills. And then Nick Harris said, it is hard to ask for a much better first week of camp than you got from Jaden Blue, the Longhorn, whose work ethic got questioned by someone who used to be on another radio station.
Yeah, and all that's been said about that guy, which I don't see him out here yet. Hopefully we run into him. We can get into a one-on-one or something like that. Jaden Blue is somebody who this is going to be an area where he was going to stand out. And I think that the fact that the pads come on and he continues to impress is a good sign, because that's the thing. There's a difference between like your game speed and then obviously your time speed and then how you play within.
You were saying he's going to stand out in the padded period?
No, I'm just saying in general, in a training camp setup, he's going to stand out in these things because he is so fast. He is so versatile. The things that he can do, it's going to stand out and be impressive in these sort of contexts.
And he had the catch of the weekend, too.
The one from Joe Milton, yeah. And that's the thing is that if you...
That was downfield.
If you're just telling me that he's performing well in the first week, it's like, okay, that's interesting. You would expect that. It's when the pads come on, the fact that he would continue to carry that, that's when they knew there was a difference with Pollard. Like, they saw Pollard and they saw him play, and then when it was pads came on, it's like, oh, there's versatility here, and he's not slipping at all in these practices. He's continuing to show what he can be. So, I mean, that's a really encouraging sign. If there's one player I could tell you that guy continued to play better, like, or continued to play well as soon as the pads came on, Blue would be near the top of the list of guys that you'd say that's really, really encouraging.
KNC Masterpiece crushed it last week. Also sat down with Will McClay, and Will gave his updated scouting report on Blue.
We've done all the research on him, felt good about him, and have done the things to let us know who he is and how we can help him grow. Every young person has to grow, right? You come into the NFL and, you know, I think I've made it well. It's got a way of bringing you back down.
Yep.
You got to want to, you know, make the naysayers wrong. And there's a lot of clickbait as soon as the combine, you know, the draft starts. Yeah. There's a bunch of, you know, we had a bunch of stuff. There's some combine stuff. There's some draft stuff. And then when they come out before camp, let's go out here on the field and let the young man, give him an opportunity to prove himself. And he's extremely talented, and he's going to work his butt off, and we'll see what he can do for it.
Bobby, what else were you taking from practice yesterday or over the weekend?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that you're seeing right now, or one of the bits of feedback you're getting, is how much this is a challenge early on for young players to get lined up where they need to be. And some of the stuff that we've heard about with Schottenheimer's motion and some of the things with how he likes to set up his formations and things like that, that's going to be a really difficult challenge for these young players to not only just figure out where they need to be lined up within an NFL offense, but one that's going to likely be as complex as this. So this is valuable time on task that they need, time that you want to see them spend. That's why you wouldn't want somebody like Brevin Spanford to be out very long, or some of these other guys, if they're going to miss any time, is because they've really got to get on point and on discipline. But I think what you're starting to see is you're starting to see the offense pick things up a little bit and settle into a little bit more of a groove. But the one area of concern that I keep hearing from people, and hopefully we see it today, is the fact that the lack of deep connection so far out at these practices, that Dak has just not been able to connect with guys. Maybe it's been a pass has gotten knocked away, there's been an overthrow or an underthrow. Those sort of things will occur, and I would expect with Pickens. I'm a little surprised it's happened with Lamb on some of these things, but this is the time that you would spend on task where you're trying to work out those kinks.
Would there be any lingering hamstring effects with that, like not being able to get your legs under you?
I don't think so. I don't think that would cause the issue to be like there on his deep passes, especially given that he's been cleared to play. I just think right now they're probably working through different offensive concepts. They haven't run nearly as frequently, and the time is just not there yet.
Well, speaking of their passes, I think the number one highlight so far of camp was Kaiir Elam's interception. He picks it off near the sideline. He then runs over and grabs a kid from over the fence, and they hold the kid up like Simba with the whole defense celebrating. Did you not see it, RJ?
I didn't see that.
Oh, it was good.
Go look up Kaiir Elam interception on social media. Kaiir will sit down with us at 9 o'clock this morning, and the media, I think it was the number one highlight so far of training camp. He picks the kid up from over the fence. Kaiir was asked about it after.
I was just excited, man. I was just trying to give the people a show, you know, what they paid to come see. That's all.
What was more difficult, the catch or picking up the baby?
Probably the baby, for sure. I had to reach over the gate. My arms ain't that long.
Did the kid resist at first?
Nah, he was excited. He was excited.
Oh, the grown-ups were probably excited, too.
Nah, they were kind of nervous, though. I seen one of the guys. He was like, I don't know about this kid picking up my kid. But the kid was excited, though. That's all that mattered. Yeah. Simba. I look like Simba. I don't know. He was just looking like, you know, he just wanted somebody to pick him up and just give him a hug, man. So I'm happy I could make his day. That's all.
That's cool. Reporters also saying it was a great day for Andrew Booth, not so much for Jalen Tolbert. And then Nick Harris with a report on the offensive line. Cooper Beebe is moving people today, and he has been highlighting Tyler Booker. I know I thought I heard Vach Lombardi on Friday with KNC highlight Booker as well. There was a rep against Osa that was out there. Here's Brian Schottenheimer talking about Booker working with the twos.
It was really compete every day. That's the central theme of the program. Rob Jones has been doing some really, really good things. Tyler's kind of hitting that mark where it was like a little bit like, whoa, okay, you know, doing some good things, but doing some things that, you know, weren't to the standard. So what do? You make a change? Is it permanent? I don't know. I think Tyler's going to be back out there again today with the ones, but you can't stand up here and have the central theme of your program be compete every day, and if a guy's performing well, not reward him. Just like when we split up and do different things, you're going to, you know, move guys around and do things like that. So you'll see that more and more as we go, not just with Tyler, but with the entire team. And it's cool you guys track that and see that, because that's something that we're all about.
Like the offensive line, that's going to be such a – that to me is where the season's going to rise or fall. Like to me, if the offensive line is where it needs to be, then this team can do pretty much anything offensively that I think they want. If that's not good enough, yep, this team could very easily be under 500.
Steven Jones on Ezeraku, quote, "I give Aaron Whitecotton, the D-line coach, credit. He was on the table for him with pick 12. He was jumping up and down saying, this is the guy – with the 12th pick, let's get him." Donovan Ezeraku was asked what he likes about the defense. He said it's not a lot of thinking. Some coaches can overcomplicate. In this defense, there's not a lot of thinking. We're going straight, and we are attacking the ball.
Yeah, he mentioned the O-line and what it means to the offense. This is 2014 all over again. Like, it's that.
Well, pedigree-wise.
Remember going into 2014, it was like, that was the year we almost went to Vegas. Put the money on the under of 8 wins, and it was Zach came in, completely transformed that line. If Booker is that same dude, completely transforms this line, this is a 2014-ish.
Yeah, I mean, if they, like I said, if you get Guyton to step up to to perform better, I mean, BB practicing well yesterday, that's encouraging. We already know who Tyler Smith is. Steele, they're hoping to bounce back. It's just there's so many variables in terms of the execution and the quality of the line. And then I'll say on Ezeraku, who you just brought up there, Brian, yesterday when we were driving to the beach, he was talking about that. He's like, that's the most unblockable guy in camp. He's like, it doesn't matter who he's gone up against. He can be going up against the tackles, the guards, whoever. He is beating them consistently.
Broadus has also talked about span forward. I know we talk about the – are we talking about this as a long-term injury?
There's not a lot of certainty yet as to whether this, the concern is they just don't want it to be a high ankle sprain.
Broadus had said Brevin Spanford is not going away. Of course, Ferguson just got paid yesterday. And then someone was criticizing Schoonmaker, and Broadus said, wish you were here these last three practices. So I've been here, and Schoonmaker has not been bad. Is that the new standard for him? I don't know.
Archer said he was an offseason winner for them.
Rookie third-round pick Siobhan Revelle, the corner, had his helmet and cleats on around the corners yesterday. Not with the rehab group for the first time. Could be nearing a return from PUP. And his medical evaluation was a big draft storyline.
Yeah, because he was somebody, I mean, he would have gone, I think, first or second round if he were healthy. But yeah, he ended up tearing the ACL last year, about four games into the year. He'd already played at a smaller program, but a really good athlete and somebody who you felt like you got to steal as long as his health was okay. And that'll be a big question. I was like, finally seeing him move, you know, a year later. It's been a long time since he's been on the football field.
One more training camp clip that took place Saturday as they decided to give Charles Haley the microphone. Man. To sing happy birthday to Charlotte Jones.
It's Charlotte Jones' birthday, so we're going to sing happy birthday to her. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Charlotte. Happy birthday to you. Hey, she's fine too, y'all. Let me tell you that.
It's so good.
She fine too, she y'all. Fine let me too. Tell you that.
Is happy birthday in the public domain yet, or is it still? Does it still get royalties credits like it used to back then? You know how you can sing at restaurants the happy birthday song. I wonder if that's why Charles was singing it so poorly out of key.
I never knew that you couldn't sing it at a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. No, that's why you always get the happy birthday or other different things, because it was like a copyright thing.
That's dumb. That's
dumb. Was stupid.
By the way, you know, there's nothing, because you know, this happens, and you don't think about this when you name your child. But I do believe you do a disservice to your children. And you and I are the same thing, because our given names are single syllables. But you do a disservice to your children when you give your child a one-syllable name. It completely screws up. The happy birthday. You have to, happy birthday, dear Sean, right. Instead of Bobby.
Well, you got two letters.
Two letters. That's easy. But the given name, Ralph. Happy birthday to Ralph.
Yeah.
Ralph.
You got to either say Ralph or Ralphie, then.
Ralphie, yeah. Mm-hmm. Shawnee Bonnie.
We're live from Oxnard with that type of in-depth thought and topic material here on Sean. What?
We also have, you just heard Rob Jones get mentioned by Brian Schottenheimer, their offensive lineman who they brought in as free agent. Adam Schefter, 51 seconds ago, sources Cowboys guard Rob Jones has broke a bone in his neck during Sunday's practice. He's expected to miss 2 to 3 months per Todd Archer and me.
What was neck?
Ouch. We're brought to you by the on-time experts Rhino Shield and Yardburn Southern Table and Bar. Jerry Jones. And what he just did to Micah Parsons yesterday has inspired RJ Choppy to do a Jerry Jones true or false. We'll do it in the commercial free expressway, along with best and worst of the weekend, with all the stories from traveling to Cali after this. Thank you, Pepe, Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt out here with Ruben, along with Carter and the G-Bag Nation. Day one of training camp coverage. We are commercial-free in the expressway with our Happy Gilmore review coming up.
Most of the G-Bag Nation. We didn't see Broadus yesterday. We didn't see Dawson yesterday.
I did see Broadus, to be
you
fair.
Did.
He saw him later on at night.
Yeah. I heard about Broadus before I saw him, though.
You know, when we sat down for drinks, Zach and I think they were playing. Zach is like, "So what's up with the beef?" What's up? What's up? What's up with the morning show, afternoon show beef?
He says, is there a ceasefire?
Yeah.
And I was like, what happened? What happened? We have a ceasefire?
Yeah.
And I know we were talking about. There's so many ceasefires going on nowadays.
So many.
There's so many ceasefires.
Solving so many wars.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, he was just joking. And I was like, ha, 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 ha. Yeah. And then Eric, I think, got in his feels a little bit. Dawson is in his feels a little bit. I think Brawlis has a tinge of it. Here I was, Pepe. I was thinking we were just busting both. Apparently, I think we bust too hard. Don't use that against me.
Well,
I think we go too hard.
I'll
in
see
the
you
paint.
In Oxnard, sir.
And they're an older show, at least Dawson and Brawlis, but I think we're dealing with some kind of, you know, Gen Z sensitivity. And because of that, I'm backing off.
Oh.
No more insults towards G-Bag because of the feelings. I don't think everyone can necessarily take it.
Well, listen,
because Eric got tinge serious yesterday, and dude, I was like, whoa, he's serious.
It was the moment where
over
he
the Rowdy Tellez interview.
RJ's to his left, you're to his right, and he's playing it, and when he went, you overreacted, and then he turned over and went, you overreacted.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, look at him. He's getting worked up.
That's when I was like, have a drink, pal. Relax.
Yeah. See, I'm
loosen up your Crocs.
I might take the opposite stance here.
Go harder?
Story. Yeah, because, like, listen, you know, Zach has his own things. We got our own beef, him and I. But that's neither here nor there. That's off topic.
Yeah.
Chiafalo, you know, he cut his hair and he lost his balls. That's what happened.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, it's not personal. Nobody ever took personal shots. We're not attacking. There's no attacking.
Yeah.
We're not attacking professionalism.
I think we're professional S talkers.
Yes.
And it got too much for
right.
them.
Brawlis, he's a long snapper.
Meaning
he never really played team sports. Dawson.
So he's not used to, like, the locker room
talk. He's not
culture.
Used to locker room talk, right? He's not used to locker room talk because he was on the field.
I mean, he worked at DallasCowboys.com.
Extra time on the field, right? Extra time on the field is a long snapper. You got to take extra. And then Dawson, I mean, it's the whole West Coast, like, you know, hippie and just they can't handle it, right?
Yeah.
So I think we got to toughen him up.
I'm backing off. It's like with, you know, certain people, you're like, I can't go there with them. They
yeah.
can't kind of handle it. So I'm backing off the insults.
See, I think we've got to train them. We got to train them, you know, beat them into submission a little bit.
Yeah.
Spray some water face.
Yeah.
There you go.
Bobby, what's your assessment of it before we move on?
Yeah, I think in general, Dawson and Brawlis, I think the sense coming from the fellas is that they're a little worked up about it or a little annoyed, maybe. The one who was...
Did RJ get us into this mess? Did RJ lead us into this battle, this fight?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit like, you know, when somebody does something, you look over and you're like, oh, crap, we got to go fight now.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
he's
like Will Chuck at the beach bar. Yeah,
that's exactly what it was like. And so now you're like, all right, we got to fight. So then you end up throwing some jabs, and it's like, all right, this is now we're all in this.
I'll take the blame on it. I don't want to take the blame, but I will. And I love all of them. I love all those
guys.
It
was one emoji.
Yeah.
It was an emoji that started in a text that started all this.
It was a bitmoji. Okay. It was a bitmoji.
Brian said, brought us a good. This goes back months to when we had Seth Greenberg on, and Choppy said to the group text, you were out though, we said to the group text, hey, we got Seth Greenberg at 8 a.m. or whatever, and Brada sends back, like, his little emoji of him, like, looking over his computer, like, don't know about that one.
Yeah.
And then Choppy was like, what?
Yeah.
And Brodus goes, he just wasn't much of a firecracker when we had him on. And ever since then, Choppy has been out for blood. It's wild
so,
the things that will make
no,
Choppy want to just
end someone. It was not that bitmoji. It was him with Z's coming out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Here, turn it around.
It was him with Z's. And they said, maybe we caught him when busy, but damn, it was a struggle.
Try to say we had a boring guest, right? Booked a boring guest.
Man, he's great on TV.
And booked a boring guest, and that made him upset.
Yeah. Then I said, he's great on TV. And he goes, we talked to him on the radio. And he was not feeling it.
Yeah.
So.
And then the thing that gets me is apparently, like, they're mad over, like, us joking about them not moving merchandise. Like, of all the things to get mad at, like, they're really, like, I was in shock last time. I'm still in shock over it this morning. Like, Dawson is a little bit worked up. Like, oh, I don't like the implication that we can't do giveaways. Well, Every year we talk about the GBAC Nation flags and how rabid people are over them.
Every year.
They go like hotcakes, but like people are getting sensitive in their feels over giving away like koozies and drinks. Spittle's like, are you guys done with this? Like, is this as far as it's going to go? So, yes, boss, I'm putting it to rest, because if Eric Tiafalo gets worked up, you know that it's gone far enough. There it is.
Yeah, I will say, you say you're going to ramp it up. I don't know that I would.
Ramping.
Or training them. I don't know that you want to mix it up with Eric anymore. I think that one you should let lie. If you want to poke out his fight, I think Eric would get. You. I don't think you want Eric worked up as well.
Oh, whoa. I don't want the guy who's unable to produce a male heir to get worked up.
Okay. All right. I want it on.
What do you mean you don't want him to get worked up? What do you mean? What are you trying to warn against?
I'd say that if Eric decides, like, all right, we're doing full shots, and, like, he decides, like, I'm angered and motivated, it's going to become a nasty battle on the air.
We're paisans. We're not getting worked up.
Yeah. And no one over there is going to win a low blow battle. You can go at Choppy and he'll keep turning it up too. But hey.
And also you can't pull me off sides.
Oh, well, they got plenty of emojis they can still text.
That's true. That's true.
All right. The shot fired yesterday came from Jerry Jones. Todd Archer got the quote. Jerry was asked, did you hear the pay Micah chant Saturday morning from the crowd here in Oxnard? Quote, I heard it light, but not compared to how I heard them say pay Lamb last year. That was a faint little sound Saturday compared to the way they were hollering last year, pay Lamb. Whoever's not in, you can count on a few hollering that, but it was a big loud chant last year on Lamb. Why?
What?
Why would he say that?
I don't know. I don't know what the hell he's doing.
Is there any part of that that is productive, Bobby? Is that supposed to scare Mike a little bit more? Or it's just time to take off the gloves and deliver cheap shots?
Yeah, I mean, like, I can justify a lot of the opening press conference stuff as, oh, that's a public negotiation, or you're trying to make him feel the pressure, or do whatever else. I don't know how beloved he is, basically. That kind of a say.
Not more popular than CD.
I don't think that does anything in your negotiation. That just almost just seems a little like, unless it's just Jerry's trying to establish a baseline of like, I am not here to be played with. You are not going to like lean into any sentimentality or anything else with me. This is what I'm about.
I want to qualify this when I say it, because this would not be good for us and the Metroplex. And the football team and the ratings and success in the season. Like, the bad part of my shoulder wants to see Micah demand a trade, like, today. Like, breaking news, Micah Parsons and David Mulligeta demand a trade. And I just want to see how the Joneses would react. I want to see what Jerry and Steven would say. I want to see someone finally. Again, this is football team success to the side for a second. I want to see someone finally call Jerry on this stuff.
I'll get somebody else to ask these questions.
Because Micah's going to get paid.
He's gonna get paid regardless. Someone's gonna pay him.
Someone would pay him. I want to see someone ask out. Like, when's the last time we've had a public Dallas Cowboy trade demand? A star.
A public one. It's not been.
God, I can't think of one.
T.O. got cut.
And yet, he didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
Who was it? I want to see someone ask out. I want to see Micah ask out. Like, today, the sick side of me. After Jerry is delivering these types of shots,
that's a terrible thing to say. not what you're saying. What Jerry said to him about, I heard more. It was louder with Lamb. It's faint. Pay Micah. Like, what are we doing? That's just an insulting thing to say. It's terrible. I don't even know where to start with.
And
this.
That sets up an RJ Choppy, Jerry, true or false?
So I had the idea. I was wondering, is Jerry a good bad owner or a bad good owner? Like, that's how this whole thing started. I was just trying to like ask myself, is he on the good side of bad or the bad side of good? Like, if the owners are in two spectrums, good owners or bad owners, is he on the higher end of the bad owners or the lower end of the good owners? So that's where this whole thing kind of popped into my head.
The higher end of the bad owners or the lower end of the good owners?
The as a GM too, or what?
Yeah, you got to throw that in there too.
I mean, if you're just telling me as an owner, he's one of the better ones in sports. Like he is.
He's a bad good owner.
He's a bad good. Yeah, I think
he's on the lower
end of the good owners.
I think.
I think that's where I put him too.
I don't know. I don't disagree in general with the way he has the front office personnel structured, but some of the hires or some of the delegation that hasn't worked out, that ultimately does fall on his responsibilities of delegating. So if they've done a poor job or something, they haven't handled something right, then that would then fall under his wing. I think he's in the better half of owners in the NFL, and he's somewhere in the middle of that. I don't think it's as simple as just saying he's a bad, good owner.
All right, so let's roll through some of the true or falses here. True or false, Jerry Jones is cheap.
False.
Yeah, he's not cheap. Yeah. I agree, false.
I mean, I'm counting, like, the Ford Center.
Oh, yeah.
I'm counting all AT&T. That. I'm counting all that stuff into it. Now, public funds, whatever, but...
Sure.
Like...
According to him, he was still spending $1 million a day for AT&T Stadium to be built.
Like, are they... Now, a lot of the fan techs are going to say, yes, cheap. You have to show me that they're, like, bottom five spending. Everyone has to abide by the salary cap. You'd have to tell me that they're, like, bottom five spending every single year. And it's hard to nail it down because of the funny money and when certain things kick up in certain years. What do you think, Bobby?
I don't think cheap is the right word. That's false. Right.
I mean, they had the most money allocated towards coaches in terms of staff few years ago.
Yeah, the most money allocated and the most coaches on staff. And we've routinely seen stuff like him give big money to Will McClay or Dan Quinn or whoever else to like make sure that they stay.
Although we don't believe he'll pay a head coach big time.
Right, but you know, they have the highest paid quarterback in the league. They're about to have the highest paid defensive end in the league.
Lamb.
And then they have CeeDee Lamb, who I don't think he's the highest paid, but he's like second or third.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's...
Diggs is making 20.
He's thrifty. He does want to try and like...
Yeah.
He wants to like get a little extra... He doesn't just want to like... He wants to come home and be like, not only did I buy this, but they threw in a box of this for me too. What's like he point? Wants that. He does want that. I think he likes... Wheeling and dealing. He wants to win a deal. That's what he wants.
All right, true or false? Jerry wants to win the Super Bowl.
That's true.
True. The way you phrased it, though.
Yeah, he wants to win the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Not
by any means necessary.
Not by any means necessary. Not by any cost.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's true.
Yeah. He prefers comfortability over the unknown.
True.
True. It doesn't necessarily mean that could be good or bad, though. Like, I mean, I don't know that it's inherently bad to just say, especially in a league where there's so much turnover and different things that I don't think continuity, which has been a phrase they've thrown around here for 20 years, I don't think that's inherently bad. It's just you've got to find the right mix.
I mean, he didn't know McCarthy, so you give him credit there for doing something foreign to him. And then they did know Schottenheimer, so going back to some comfort.
Yeah, he... I mean,
you're the one always talking about it as a mom-and-pop shop.
It is a mom-and-pop shop. And, like, you know, I consider the McCarthy hiring very...
And not meaning small time, just family connections.
And I think the McCarthy hiring is very similar, not in, like, stature necessarily, to the Parcells hiring. Like, he stepped out of his comfort zone, and then, you know, he did not like the Bill tenure. Like, he didn't hate it, but he also didn't love it because he didn't find Bill to be like a guy that was like, hey, I could be this friend of this guy. So McCarthy was a similar way. He went out of his comfort zone, got a big name, but, you know, necessarily wasn't as bad as the Bill situation.
I don't know that Jerry enjoyed the McCarthy area much either, though. I think there were things that were frustrating about it.
Yeah, I agree with that. True or false, Jerry would rather be in the news and losing than out of the news and winning.
True.
I
mean, losing.
False. Yeah, I'll say false. Like, if you're telling me, like, what is winning? Like, they're winning games in October? You're telling me they are, like, competing for a Super Bowl. They're actively, competitively getting closer to a title his way, no, he'd rather have that than be in the headlines for
it. He could be in the headlines at 9-8 every year, 10-7, compete for a playoff, or completely out of the news, but, you know, competing, literally, like, competing for a Super Bowl.
Out of the news. Right now, at this stage of his career, out of the news.
Wrong. First one.
Yeah, I think.
Because to him, he wants the legacy. I want to win the Super Bowl my way. Now, again, if it's his way, he wins his way, then that is the ultimate prize to him. Winning the Super Bowl his way, and everything else can come under that.
I mean,
we can agree to disagree. Fantex will agree with me and Chop, but obviously, there's no way to definitely know.
Yeah, Jerry is a meddler, true or false?
True once upon a time, less so now. So it's false today.
I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions about him is that he's a meddler.
He was jocks and socks early in his career.
He was.
About 12 years ago, it changed.
Look, no, people outside of DFW don't. We've said this 100 times. People on the national shows, it's the old stereotype of, yeah, oh, Jerry Jones.
Never changes.
Jerry knows he doesn't know the third string guard. Okay? Jerry knows he can't run through 48, 49, 50 on the roster, but part of his insecurity as not being a football guy is, and you can say he's a football guy. He would say, I played college football, I won a national championship, I have 3 Super Bowls. But he always said, Jimmy can make a trade for the backup center, and people are talking about that, and I can make $1 million, and no one talks about that. I want to be talked about for football. Part of his football insecurity in that is right there and obvious. Like, he wants the recognition of the GM title, so people are like, you're the general manager who built the football team. I think he does allocate, and he stressed it again at the press conference, he does allocate power, and he does spread it out. He just wants the attention of the title. He doesn't act like that behind the scenes when it comes to the operations. Yeah. Sorry, it was a really long way to. I like blanked out like Choppy for half a second there.
No, but yes. he had the title with Jimmy. He just didn't get any of the credit. And that bothers him.
Yeah.
It bothers him. He's like, hey, guys, don't forget, I was the GM.
I think it bothers, I think less so the first two. I think the third one, the Switzer one being, well, that was Jimmy's team, even though Jimmy wasn't there, that bugs him the most.
Because he's like, I found the second coach to win another title, and you still don't give me credit for Switzer?
Yeah, and Jerry looks at it as, I went and got Dion. We never would have gotten Dion with Jimmy here.
Yep, absolutely. One more. Jerry is outdated in how he does his contracts. Like the philosophy of waiting.
Honestly, the way they've sat up there and talked about it, it sounds like Jerry's not totally involved.
Explain real quick what you were going to do late last week with the way that they.
So they, it's a little complicated, but so to try and make it as basic as I can, the Cowboys view waiting on contracts as ultimately saving money, because the way they look at it, and there's an argument to be made for it, is that if you've got a player like Micah Parsons, who is signed to a contract, or let's take Dak, for instance. Dak signed his 4-year extension. They say, make him play all of that out. Make him play out that money. Make him play out the entirety of the contract before you go sign a new deal. Because even if the price is always going up, because it's always going up, the market will always reset you, so you don't have to worry about sitting at the top and being the only one alone, unless it's Zeke's running back contract. But you don't have to worry about sitting up there being all alone. And the idea is, if you structured it this way, have him play on a rate that's 4 years old in an era of money keep on shooting up, and the value of that in the fourth year will be so much more than whatever you lose by giving him a contract early.
There it is, an RJ Choppy, Jerry Jones, true or false, on the home of the Dallas Cowboys. It's DFW Sports Station from Oxnard, brought to you in part by Wild Fork Foods, wildforkfoods.com, elite game day grilling favorites. And I'm going to tell you at the end of the 8 o'clock hour how to get a Wagyu brisket that we are giving away all week long. Let's get to best and worst of the weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad fucking weekend.
877-881-1053 is the Franco LaFranco Injury Attorney text line. 877-881-1053 as we recap what happen. Bobby kind of went at you in the opening segment here on the program, so I think it's only fair that you start off best and worst of the weekend with whatever you'd like to clarify or describe from the weekend and our travels.
Okay, would you rather we touch on packing or travel more?
Ooh. Packing.
Okay, let's go to the packing. Aiden, you can throw up that picture on the fan cam. This caused a little bit of a stir, and I feel like I was unfairly slandered on this one. I'll take just about anything else, but I felt on this one I was unfairly slandered, as though this was my bag that I sent. This is a picture of a bag that Kristen wanted me to take on this trip to Oxnard. And if you look at it, it's like a mom's tapestry bag that she would fill up with like pool items when you're taking the kids for a pool day or something.
Yeah.
It's a bag that folds into...
It looks like an insulation bag.
Yeah, it folds into like another bag where you can carry it very easily.
So she wanted me to take this bag. She's like, I'm going to put your hoodies in here and then you can check this. I was like, we're not taking that. I'm not. No. I'm not going to be the weirdo.
It's like a shimmery type.
And she goes, material. She's like, what's the problem? She's like, we got the suitcase. And she's like, if you don't do this, like, I can't find the duffel bag. We're going to have to go get another duffel bag. That's true. I was like, fine, we're going to spend money then because I'm not packing that. This is man card cord. I'm not taking something that looks like that. So I sent it to you guys trying to get backing. And what did that turn into in the group text other than just, wow, that's your bag? Is it? No, it's not my bag. I'm trying to get you to back me up that I shouldn't take this bag.
Oh.
And instead, it got turned around. But I genuinely considered, very briefly, bringing a Hello Kitty suitcase.
The pink one?
I went into the closet. I was like, where's another thing? And I looked and I saw Laura's little Hello Kitty suitcase. I was like, you know what? This would be funny. I could pack my stuff in it. I would then check my backpack and I would check the suitcase. And then I think it'd be funny just strolling with a, like, 6-year-old's Hello Kitty suitcase dragging that behind me. But then Kristen was like, you absolutely can't do that. You will be profiled at TSA as, like, a predator, so you can't do that.
This is very interesting because what you just detailed here is the fickleness of this whole thing. You would be more comfortable going over the top and carrying a girl's Hello Kitty bag than you would have with carrying a slightly less masculine duffel bag.
Right, because here's the deal. Which is
you're saying one's a bit and one is made fun of.
Which are you more comfortable generally doing? Obnoxiously over the top singing poorly or singing off key a little bit and actually trying to sing?
Yeah,
which is more embarrassing?
That's fair.
I get it, because it's like I'm trying to be embarrassing.
Yeah, it's like this is clearly a bit. Yeah. I'm dragging this thing is like it's a child's one to begin with. And then I was like, oh man, I took Kristen's sunglasses that were like shaped like hearts. I was like, I could walk in like this and act like a real diva with them.
What bothered you the most of the three things that you caught heat for over the weekend? Your luggage, not eating at the restaurant because they serve seafood, you didn't want it to contaminate the other food, or Chia Follow videoing your Adam Sandler outfit yesterday?
That annoyed me.
Why?
Because like it's
Aiden, do you have that on the fan cam?
I'm just strolling off of the plane. It's like you just think you're there just trying to feel comfortable and whatever.
Oh, to be fair, I mean you dress like that at a steakhouse too.
No, I don't. I don't typically wear these. I don't typically wear the joggers.
Did you wear what you wore on the plane to dinner last night?
No.
At all.
Oh wait, to the going to the seafood place? Yeah. Yes.
But you showered.
No, I didn't end up having time. Okay.
And I thought you said you did. Yeah,
no,
you
I was going to shower. I didn't end up.
So what was it? Eric just videoed you walking out of the bar.
Yeah. Now that also like I very clearly was like trying to act like as I was walking at that point, then I was just trying to just like walk a little more swivel in my hips as a bit. And then that was taken to be like people thought that's how I walk.
Sassy.
Like, directly like there.
Townsy.
But I will say it doesn't upset me. I'm floored that again it's the seafood one is blowing my mind because it's like It's Groundhog Day. It's like every time I tell y'all exactly how it's going to go, and every time y'all are like, he didn't eat last night. Can y'all believe that? I just don't understand.
Well, I think we just forgot for a brief second, like, the stupidity of it all. So when we, like, are all talking about going to a place.
We still refuse to believe it.
And then we sit down, it's like, oh, yeah, that.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize it until I sat down after ordering.
And it doesn't, but see, here's the other thing, is that I don't even, like, it's not like I sit there and be and complain.
No, you
about
don't.
It. I literally, I'm completely cool.
But what's amazing to us is how you don't see. I think with less selfish people. There's a lot of selfish people who have no manners. But we are worrying about you eating.
Sure. Yeah.
So we need to be more like cold-blooded and just not caring about it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing to me that you don't understand how it would make us feel awkward that we know we're all starving. We haven't eaten the entire day and you're not eating.
Well, you got to remember, I ate something when we were getting on the plane.
Yeah.
And then I got something when we landed. And so, like, I mean, I had snacked a little bit.
Yeah.
And that
is what I did not account for.
Yeah.
Enough.
And the other thing is, like, it's just, it doesn't bug me to just, all right, I can sit here while everybody's eating, because it's not even like, oh my gosh, my mouth's watering, I wish I could eat right now. It's not appetizing.
I'm like a grandmother. I'm like an Italian or Hispanic, doesn't matter. Any grandmother, you got to eat.
Yeah,
you got to eat. Here, overeat. Take this, take that.
We don't believe in eating, we believe in overeating.
I get
right?
it. Here's what I think we should all remember, though. The last time I was like, no, this is where I want to eat, was we were on the beach last year when Choppy and I got in that fight about Toppers. And I was like, see, this is not worth... I can just go to Toppers when we're done. I don't... Like, all this did was cause, like, a tense, like, Saturday afternoon that was not necessary because we started fighting about stuff.
Best and worst of the weekend.
Man, I don't really have a best. I mean, I guess it could be Julian cleaning the windows, inside and outside. The window washing. That was fantastic.
And the best will be the Julian audio we're going to have to play later.
Amazing phone calls from your son yesterday trying to book a haircut. Holy macro is amazing.
But I had the worst FOMO, I think, of my life on Friday. Luca was like, hey, I want to go play golf with my friends. And I'm like, you've never played golf. You've never displayed an interest in playing golf, like, ever. All you've ever said every time you want to play, every time I ask you, I don't want to ruin my baseball swing.
Oh.
And I'm like, but season's over now. So I guess he could do that. So he goes and plays and he makes a tee time. Bear Creek, 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock.
Nice and cool.
1:55 p.m. on a Friday afternoon. He has never played a full round in his life. I've taken him. He was younger and he would just like hit a couple and just ride in the cart. Well, I never wanted to be somewhere so badly before with him. This cut me deep.
Really?
That the first time he played, he had a blast. That he was going to play golf with his friends. It was like I was setting him off. I was sending him off into the world to say, go figure this out for yourself. And I was like, hey, listen, you see people behind you and you're playing slow, let them play through. X amount of shots per hole. You
this know, is like, I get more enjoyment out of coaching a friend of mine to try to cook a brisket than me cooking the brisket.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for updates on my phone. I'm like, send me pictures. That's how it sounds like you were. Like, yeah. What tee are you on right now? Like, show me, you know, the golf microscope, yeah. Whatever the distance thing is.
40 minutes in, I said, how are you doing? What hole? And he goes, we're on the fourth hole. And I was like, all right, you know, you're making decent time.
Good pace.
And you know what they did? This is what I love, because none of them ever played before. They did a scramble. They all teed off. And they picked the best ball, and they hit their next shot from there. Instead of all of them scattering,
yeah.
It would have taken them 8 hours to play.
Yes. How'd they know how to do that?
I think one of the other kids' dads may have suggested that or something.
Yeah.
But it was cool.
See, it's not even just the thing that I would imagine would be even cooler for Chop is, like, it's not even the brisket thing for you. It's like as if you were... Ollie all of a sudden was asking you how to make a brisket after he had shown no interest in it, really.
Yep. Pepe, take us back home to the Metroplex with your best and worst of the weekend.
So I had a best and then a double best. Not really a worst this weekend, but the double best, I'll start with that because it involves a Tolo. And this is the part where you guys scream well at the top of your lungs there at the tennis courts in Oxnard. But I got recognized at dinner Friday night.
Well.
I'll podge up a little bit.
I'm not going to yell. We can't yell with these players.
I know.
It's 550 here.
But yeah, Tolo LJ in Rockwall stopped by. Mackenzie and myself saw our table there. We were eating at a Mexican restaurant in Rockwall, and he stopped by and said he loves the morning show, listens every morning, and he said to tell Bobby to stop taking drugs. So there you go, Bobby. Mm. But yeah, he loves the morning show, and I'm telling y'all, if y'all did a Rockwall Firehouse tour, it would do record numbers.
I mean, we don't decide. The amount of Tolos, email Gavin Spittle.
Maybe in my solo meeting after the show today, I'll talk to him about it. But
he should have to have a solo meeting.
No, please don't do that. Please don't. I'm trying to get out of here by 10:20. But and then my best, I borrowed my dad's power washer for a couple of days this weekend. It's an absolute game changer, dude. I never had one before, but you don't realize how dirty your house is until you actually use one. I mean, it's a night and day difference. I really need to invest in one of these things, but you know, backyard, you know, back patio, front patio, sides of the house, everything was getting washed. I was out there for 2 days for a total of a little over 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I still wasn't done. Amazing.
There's no one in mankind who has used a power washer for the first time and not become completely smitten.
Oh, yeah.
Never. Bobby, you don't know what we're
talking. Yes, I do.
My neighbor, Brad.
What do you power wash?
I worked growing up, thank you.
Oh, wow.
Manual labor, grinded from the bottom.
Wow. My neighbor, he has one that's it's got like a lawnmower motor on it. I mean, you pull the ripcord.
Yeah.
And you just power wash this thing, and you just, the testosterone runs through your blood.
Fantastic. And you want to get everything.
You do.
Even things that, you know, you'll shred, like cloths on outdoor furniture. you just want to get it.
Coolers. Cool, everything. Neighbors.
This one sucks. 817. I slipped and fell, broke my foot in the shower. We leave for Honduras Friday. This happened less than 24 hours after telling my son it's more dangerous to take a shower than ride a roller coaster to convince him Six Flags is safe. that's a tough one. By the way, you just did the grunt. I was curious about that. Peyton, do you know what that sound was that Choppy did? Do you understand that reference?
Do it again. No.
Oh, my God.
Famous
gosh.
TV show.
Tool time, man. Home improvement. Tim Allen.
All right, it's 7:40 here on DFW Sports Station. Below the Belt at 8:40. Kyer Elam at 9 o'clock. Nick Eatman at 9:20. But we're also your home for the Red Hot Texas Rangers. How the magic has hit Arlington. Choppy has it in Diamond Cavs next.